Lots of polls suggest many Americans are already focused on the 2020 elections, specifically the presidential race or specific U.S. Senate races. But my next guest is looking a bit farther down the ballot at state legislative races. That's because in many states, the party that controls the legislature will be in charge of the redistricting process after the 2020 census and will be drawing new congressional and legislative maps. Wendy Underhill is the director of the Elections and Redistricting Program at the National Conference of State Legislatures and was in town this week for the group's Capitol Forum. She says for her, 2020 is the biggest year of her dozen years of working on elections. I sat down with her earlier and started our conversation by asking how many state legislatures draw the maps and how many states have done what Arizona has done and given the job to an independent commission.
By far, the majority of states do it through the legislature and not through a commission like Arizona's commission. 36 states do legislative redistricting, and 41 states do congressional redistricting. So you can see it's by far the majority. There is a trend towards moving more towards the Arizona Independent Commission model. It's a slow trend. It has a little bit of a Western tilt to it. Western states seem to be more likely to move in that direction. And I'll say Arizona was sort of at the front end of that trend.
Do you see any differences in terms of the maps that are drawn or the controversy that surrounds the maps that are drawn if they're done by a legislature versus an independent commission?
Not exactly so that you could measure it, or maybe another way to say it is that there's a lot of ways to answer that question. So if you didn't get what you want, then you don't like the way the maps were drawn, and somebody is going to be unhappy no matter where you are. But in terms of litigation for maps that come from commissions versus litigation that from maps that come from legislatures, it's about the same amount and the same amount of success. So it's really hard to tell, you know, you like chocolate, I like vanilla. It's hard to tell which way is the better way to do it, but I can say that litigation-wise, so far, kind of on track.
Well, does that tell you anything then about the process of drawing the maps that, you know, for example, in Arizona, and I suspect in other states that have moved to an independent commission, the idea was to, you know, quote unquote, take politics out of it and make it a more fair procedure. But if both sets of processes are being litigated roughly equal amount, does that suggest that maybe it's not any better than having lawmakers draw it?
What I get out of that is that redistricting is really, really complicated. There's a lot of factors that come into play. They all have to be balanced with each other. And if you take all of those factors, you could literally create millions of maps for any given state that would meet the state requirements for it. So then you are making some decisions amongst those things. It's hard. There's things that you're taking into consideration, like what are communities of interest? How are we identifying them? How are we making sure that they are preserved, that in Arizona and quite a number of places? There's the rule about preserving existing city and county boundaries. That seems easy, like you should be able to count how many boundaries were crossed, but it's got a lot of complicated factors. And what you really get down to is that if you have equal population districts, one person, one vote is the background for everything that we do with redistricting. The whole goal of redistricting is to make sure that every person's vote has equal weight in the state capitol or in Congress. If you're doing that, it's hard to meet all of those other standards as well.
Do you find that different states interpret some of those criteria differently?
Absolutely. And one thing is that not all states have the same criteria that they have to work with. Federally, there are two things that every state has to do. One person, one vote, equal population, we got that. The other is you can't discriminate in redistricting. But then beyond that, states can adopt their own criteria. Some say that you must ignore where incumbents live. Others say you should take into account where incumbents live. Some say you should preserve the cores of the previous districts, meaning start with the old plan and just make some changes around it. Others say start with a clean slate. So there's a lot of features and they don't necessarily line up easily. It's hard to make them all happen all at the same time.
How have you found that technology is changing the way that these maps are being drawn?
It is changing it, but I'd say it's more a question of detail than it is of a whole new approach. So we've always had information about how many people live in what communities. That's the census. We've always had some information about where Democrats tend to gather and where Republicans tend to gather. What's happening now is that the ability to slice and dice data is so highly tuned that you can really get down to a micro level that wasn't possible 20 years ago, and it's even better now than it was 10 years ago.
We have heard so much in the last year or so about the issue of gerrymandering and political gerrymandering and racial gerrymandering, and the courts have dealt with this. The U.S. Supreme Court has taken this up. What are state lawmakers across the country saying and thinking about how some of those cases might impact their jobs come the next round of redistricting?
That's a good question. And what I can say is that when the Supreme Court ruled earlier this year on the big redistricting case about partisanship, it said that federal courts cannot address partisanship in redistricting. But it also went on to say that doesn't mean that the states couldn't. And in fact, the state courts might be a good venue to take those cases. So I'm fairly sure we will see just as many cases brought forward on the basis of too much partisanship, whatever that might be. But they'll bring them in state courts rather than in federal courts. And in the meantime, there's lots and lots of other things to litigate on. You can litigate on the racial issues. That's been a longstanding place for court cases for several decades. You can, the one person, one vote continues to be refined and refined. What does that actually mean? You can argue about the criteria. And this decade coming up, we might even argue about what data do we have to start with? What's the is the census data that is handed to us the correct and right data that we should be using? So who knows? There could be some other topics that they argue about that I can't even yet identify.
Do you think that there is a better way to be doing this? I mean, we've talked about state lawmakers drawing maps. We've talked about independent commissions drawing maps. Is there another way that states can and maybe should be looking at drawing these maps?
Well, I'm going to offer that the legislature is not a bad place for it to be done. I know in Arizona you've moved to a commission, but legislatures should represent people from every nook and cranny, or maybe it's Arroyo and Mountaintop here in Arizona, at the table. With a commission, you might get that as well, but those aren't people who are living and breathing the policy choices all the time. I will say that the newer states with commissions have looked at what Arizona did and made some changes on it. Instead of a 5-member commission, they tend to be much larger, 10 or 12 members. A couple of states have removed the legislature virtually altogether from choosing the commissioners. So I don't know. I'd say Arizona sort of started the trend, but things keep changing.
All right. That's Wendy Underhill, Director of the Elections and Redistricting Program with the National Conference of State Legislatures. Wendy, thank you.
You're so welcome. It was a pleasure.